Hey, this is Fred Diamond. Thanks for being a listener of the Sales Game Changers podcast. We've got a great show for you today. We're talking to Mike Knox. He's the VP of Commercial Sales at Thundercat Technology. He's also a former professional baseball player. So you're going to hear tons of baseball questions from me and some great analogies about what it's like to be on the mound. Mike threw the ball 96 miles per hour when he played minor league ball. So we talk about some of the ties into that and strategy as it relates to pitching, as it relates to sales. It's a great show. Sit back and listen. If you're a subscriber of the podcast, thank you very much. If you are a subscriber, why don't you go up to the Apple Podcast Store, give us a 5-star rating, say something nice. We would greatly appreciate it. Sit back and enjoy today's show with Mike Knox, VP of Commercial Sales at Thundercat Technology.
Welcome to the Sales Game Changers podcast with Fred Diamond, co-founder of the Institute for Excellence in Sales. Join Fred as he interviews top sales leaders from around the world, 3 days a week, seeking insights, information, and best practices to help you sell more, find new opportunities, and grow your career. Let's do it now.
All right. Welcome to another episode of the award-winning Sales Game Changers podcast, sponsored in part by the Institute for Excellence in Sales. My name is Fred Diamond. A couple times a week, we have a conversation with a sales leader from across the globe. We talk about their careers, get some tips for how you can take your sales career to the next level. I'm very excited. Today we're talking to Mike Knox. He's the VP of Commercial Sales at Thundercat Technology. If you're a loyal listener of the podcast and you recognize Thundercat Technology, it's because we interviewed Dave Schlosser a couple of months ago. Dave heads up public sector sales. Prior to coming over to Thundercat Technology, Mike held sales leadership positions at Nehemiah Security and LexisNexis, and he also spent some time with Oracle. Mike, it's great to have you on the Sales Game Changers podcast. Why don't you tell us a little more about you that we need to know?
Yeah, thanks, Fred. Thanks for having me. And I've been based out of the D.C. area for the last 11 years, former minor league baseball player for the New York Yankees turned software sales pro, passionate about customer success, been a VP of sales for the last 5.5 years. And I've been invested in as a sales pro and a sales leader, and I want to continue to invest in others as well. And my mission statement as a sales leader is leading people and helping them solve problems through hard work, integrity, service, vulnerability, and generosity of spirit.
Very good. So we've had some great podcast interviews with lacrosse players and some football players and some soccer players. So I'm going to come back and ask you some baseball questions. But first, why don't you tell us a little more about what you sell today? Tell us what excites you about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm incredibly excited to join the Thundercat team with Dave Schlosser, of course, and Tom and Keith and the rest of the Thundercat family. But we're a value-added reseller that really puts the V in VAR through our people, our integrations, and really how we package together best-of-breed solutions that really solve tough challenges for the customer. And I was just at the Black Hat Cybersecurity Conference last week, and I loved being a part of the Thundercat family, being in front of customers and OEMs, knowing that we were tackling the toughest problems that our customers were facing, and we could do it all here with an incredible team at Thundercat Technology.
Very good. So you mentioned in the introduction that you played in the New York Yankee system. I believe your father was also a professional baseball player as well, true?
Yeah, absolutely. He played for the Tigers with Al Kaline and Frank Howard, and just an incredible mentor to me growing up. Really invested in me as a baseball player and as a businessman, because he played 5 years in the majors and then spent 32 years in sales. And just growing up in that environment really helped me see how you could correlate athletics to a successful career in sales.
Very good. What'd your dad sell?
He was with Alcoa for 32 years, so he sold aluminum forgings to airplane manufacturers and was part of the Joint Strike Fighter program with Lockheed. So pretty exciting career, and just growing up and hearing him on conference calls and talking with customers and even attending some customer meetings with him as I got older, I just got exposed to so many great things as part of the sales process.
Very cool. I mean, tell us a little more about your baseball career. Again, you played for the Yankees. You played minor league ball, I presume, correct?
Yeah.
So tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I played 3 years in the minors. I was a pitcher and wound up, I would sit low 90s, but hit 96, had an awesome changeup, but the curveball would probably make it over the fence too many times. No, I'm just kidding. But I really enjoyed my time with the organization, just a top-notch organization, and was really fortunate to play. Fortunately, an injury derailed my dreams of playing longer, and I just thought after that, you know, I want to follow in my dad's footsteps and get into sales. But still, the energy and the competitive drive and the teamwork aspects of athletics certainly never died and still carried on into what I do now in sales.
That's very good. So just curiously, do you have any memories from the Yankees that you string along when you're in the sales foot, when you're out there trying to sell and lead teams?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, every day you got to approach it just like you do in sports. And I remember just putting on my cleats and gearing up and locking in and getting in the zone before every customer meeting. I put myself in that place where, you know, if I was going onto the mound, I've got to be so locked in and laser focused. And I find myself when I go into customer meetings with that same mentality. And I think with that approach, I'm able to make the customer successful and make our company successful as well.
Very good. So tell us how you made the transition. Again, you were a professional baseball player, and like your father, you then went into sales. How did you make it from baseball into sales?
Yeah, my dad said, you're either going to get a finance degree or an engineering degree. So I chose finance, and getting a degree was important. And then going to a place that had good sales training was incredibly important. So we had a family friend that was a VP of sales at Autodesk, Steve Blum, who knew Rick Marcotte, CEO of DLT Solutions in Herndon, Virginia, and recommended. They had a great, great sales training program. And I learned so much there at DLT, and very grateful. And that that has set me off on this path ever since. So.
Very cool. DLT is a great company. We've actually interviewed a couple DLT leaders, Chris Wilkinson, who now heads up sales at DLT, and Chris Dewey, who's another sales leader there as well. Just curiously, did you grow up in Detroit, or where'd you grow up?
No, I grew up in Dallas, Texas. So moved up here 11 years ago, didn't know anyone, and began working at DLT in Herndon, Virginia, and would do it again in a heartbeat.
Very good. So you worked at DLT in the beginning, and you also worked at Oracle, which is one of the classic sales companies of all time. We've interviewed a bunch of guys and ladies who have spent a good part of their career at Oracle. What are some of the key lessons you learned from DLT and from your time at Oracle?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is believe in yourself and your product and really put the customer first. I think, you know, I've certainly learned if I try to put myself first, then I'm not going to be successful. I might get short-term wins, but I'm not going to have long-term success. And if I really want to have long-term success, it's all about putting the customer first and also wearing the company's name and focusing more on who's the team on the front of my jersey, not on the back. Because if I worry about the name on the back of my jersey, I'm not going to get anywhere at the end of the day.
Absolutely. So tell us a little more about you. What are you an expert in? Tell us a little more about your specific area of brilliance.
Yeah, I think if you break the sales process into three buckets of prospecting, selling, and closing, I love all three, but I think building a strong lead gen program is the most important thing, especially if you have a multimedia, multi-touch approach and you really bring awareness to the market. And then certainly closing and negotiating large enterprise contracts and helping customers solve problems in the middle of the process and leading teams and empowering them. And making people on your team be able to reach things that they wouldn't be able to reach without your help.
Mike, I could talk to you about sports analogies all day long. So again, you're a professional baseball player. Now you're also a sales leader. You're not just a top-notch sales guy, but you're also a sales leader. Just curiously, like, what would be some of the lessons you took away from some of the great managers that you reported to as a player that you've taken into your sales leadership roles?
Yeah, when I was I played for the Staten Island Yankees back in 2004, and a guy named Tommy John was my coach.
And the pitcher Tommy John?
Pitcher Tommy John, obviously famous for his his baseball exploits and his surgery.
Yep,
that has impacted a lot of people. But he was our head coach in Staten Island. Called us the Baby Bombers, and he told me something that I take with me to this day into every day of sales is. He always said, if you throw 100 pitches and one of them is major league ready and 99 aren't, well, you can focus on that one pitch that you throw really well and you can develop it and master it over time so that you can get it to be consistent and you can be 90 out of 100 or 100 out of 100. And I think that not only that persistence on making your strength and your talent grow over time, but also realizing the fact that when you start out, you might not have everything figured out, but if you have one thing, you can grapple onto it and you can build off of that, I mean, you can be incredibly successful. And that was what he was trying to preach into us as minor league baseball players.
So on the sports analogy side of that, so again, we have a lot of sales game changers listening to the show who are early on in their career, you know, who are kind of getting started, maybe first or second job, if you will. What might be a corollary lesson to that? You know, really, like you mentioned before, prospecting, selling, closing, maybe focusing on knowing your industry, or maybe focusing on becoming an expert in research, or focusing on a piece of the sales process?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a big fan of the challenger sales methodology. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look at that, understanding your customer and teaching them, tailoring the deal so that it's applicable to them, and taking control of the deal and understanding the customer's business, like Dave Schlosser said on his podcast as well, you got to understand the customer's business and be valuable to them. And I think every day, especially being at a reseller before and joining an incredible VAR here, I am a value. And if I'm not adding value to the customer every day, then I'm not representing my company to the fullest extent. Whether I'm at an OEM or a VAR, and even more so on a VAR, I've got to add value in everything I do, and understanding that might be on the prospecting side or the selling or the closing side. And I've got to find my area of expertise and grow that, find mentors around me to invest in me, and then eventually pay that forward into other people as well.
Speaking about mentors, you've worked with some great companies, Oracle, LexisNexis. Tell us about an impactful sales career mentor and how they impacted your career.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my mom and my dad as my biggest mentors. But I think from Oracle, really, Dave Knox, Jeff Hamlin. We don't share any relationship, by the way, Dave. Mm-hmm. He was just an incredible mentor. Ray Falcione, Glenn Dodson. And then from LexisNexis, certainly Luke Gaffney, Dave Hansen, and Steve Anderson. Just really, really believed in me and saw something, even if I had rough edges, you know, really invested in my strengths and built me up. And I really appreciate what they gave to me and the opportunity they gave to me. And that's why I'm definitely invested in future talent that's coming up that I can invest in as well.
Very good. What'd you do at Oracle? Just curiously. Again, Oracle is a huge company. I've referenced Oracle many times on the Sales Game Changers podcast. Historically, it's been one of the great sales organizations in the history of technology. Refresh me again on what you did at Oracle. I forget.
Yeah, and I started out in the Oracle world on the channel side. So I resold Oracle into the state and local government, DOD and IC, and was founder award and top sales rep at DLT. And then Oracle recruited me to join their national security group as a field sales rep for military intel. So I was specifically focused on the military intel organizations within the federal government.
Very good. So again, we're talking to Mike Knox. He's the VP of Commercial Sales, Thundercat Technology. Mike, what are the two biggest challenges you face today as a sales leader?
You know, selling into a market where there's not brand awareness and building pipeline at the pace of the company that they want. They really want to build and grow. And I think you have to take into account the customer's procurement process and the ability to cut through the noise, even if your brand isn't well known. You know, being at two startups and building the commercial sales practice at Thundercat, I think that's what a thrilling challenge to be a part of, is building brand awareness and cutting through all the noise to offer value and really pull and bring the customer through the procurement process as an expert in improving their business.
So what are some of the things you're going to do? So again, you've worked for Oracle, which of course was a huge brand. And even DLT had a pretty strong brand, very strong brand in the public sector channel side, if you will. What are some of the things that you recommend if you're working for a company? Because not everybody who's listening to the Sales Game Changers podcast works for an Amazon or a Salesforce or, you know, an Oracle or Microsoft or Apple, if you will. What are some of the things that you've learned, some of the suggestions that you have for them to show more value if the brand isn't quite there?
Yeah, I think there's really subtle things that make a big payoff. It's really having the attitude of focusing on the customer and their success and not worrying about the name necessarily that you're mentioning. Now, I think Thundercat has one of the greatest stories about how the company was founded. Our CEO, Tom, is incredible and is a service-disabled veteran who founded the company, and just so much respect for him and the company. But I also equate it to, if I don't have a brand name in a certain space, I equate it to trying to make the team in the Yankees minor leagues. Because, you know, I was throwing 96 miles an hour out of high school. And, you know, I think there's, when you're coming out of high school, you think you're the number one and nobody's really challenging you. And you get to spring training with the Yankees and they have 100 other guys throwing 96 miles an hour, if not more. And they're all just as talented, if not more than you. You got to find a way to cut through the noise, especially since I was a 27th round pick. I signed for fifth round money as a draft and follow, but I still was not a first round pick. I wasn't a, you know, I wasn't a top pick, and I had to fight through and find my way and find my place without a brand name. And I think I love that challenge in business, because ultimately it's not about that can get you in the door, but I think when you find a way to add value and win over the customer and help them improve their business, I think that's, it's incredibly more powerful than any name that I could bring, and more incredible or more important than my name.
That's a very powerful message. I mean, there's so many themes that continue to come through the Sales Game Changers podcast. One of them that continues to come through is the fact that you need to provide tremendous value unlike ever before. You've always had to provide value, but now because the customer can find their information on the internet and through social networks, you know, your ability to be able to demonstrate to the customer that you're not necessarily showing them value in your solution, but that you're bringing them value for what their particular business challenges are, is right up there. Mike, take us back to the number one specific sales success or win from your career you're most proud of.
Absolutely. There was one deal with the FBI back in 2012 when I was at DLT partnering with Oracle, and we won the, it was a huge deal. And I let out, when we won, the contract came in, let out kind of like a Tom Brady type yell. And it just, I remember that day vividly. And also when I joined my first startup, we won a deal within the first 2-3 months, within the first quarter of being there. And a lot of people said we couldn't do that and we weren't going to be successful. And overcoming the odds and winning early was huge. That was one of my favorite wins. And I still think back to that team and what we were able to do. And couldn't have won it without the team. But again, quick wins, big wins. And you just, when you win, you lock in and you realize and you experience that success and you never want to do anything else.
I got a question back to the sports analogy that you used before. Again, you said you show up at spring training. So you're coming out of high school, I guess, to the Yankees, or did you play some college ball between that?
I spent a brief period at Navarro Junior College in Corsicana, Texas.
Okay.
Because I started pitching my senior year of high school, and the Yankee scout said I needed a little more seasoning, which I did. And they still had my rights for 51 weeks, and I signed a week before the next year's draft. And I went in to play for the Gulf Coast Yankees, and ultimately got promoted from low to rookie ball to high A my first season. So it was pretty exciting.
So I got a question for you. So you show up to spring training, you were throwing 96 miles per hour. For those of people listening to the podcast who don't know, that's pretty fast. You know, that's very, very fast. So you show up though, and there's 100 guys who can throw, you know, low to mid 90s. What was your mindset like there? We talk about mindset a lot in sales and the Sales Game Changers podcast. But I'm just curious, you show up and there's 100 guys like you who came from not just Dallas, but Montana and Florida and Dominican Republic and, you know, all over the place. What was your mindset like when you see 100 guys just like you, tall, you know, strapping, can throw 90, mid 90s?
Yeah, that's a great question. My first thought is lock in.
Okay.
And hyper focus on how I'm going to succeed. And then, you know, for all of the physical talent represented at a spring training, it all comes down to the mental aspect of not only gearing up and executing on your strategy, but being able to hang in there and outwit and be able to out-strategize the batter too, because you're going up there and a big part of the baseball game is the mental aspect of it. And if you're just trying to chunk fastballs over, anyone can time a fastball. They can time a jet coming through. Yep. You've got to be able to, you know, velocity is the fourth most important thing as a pitcher. You've got to be able to mix it up and be deceptive from your motion and be able to get people out. And that mental aspect and being able to lock in and get in the zone is, I think significantly more important than even having the ability to throw 96.
Yeah, I just got a quick question as a follow-up before we take a short break and listen to one of our sponsors. Again, you know, you just mentioned as a pitcher, velocity is the fourth most important thing. You got to be thinking about strategy against the, you know, against the batter and all those types of things. How's that prepared you as a sales leader?
Yeah, and I just got chills too because of the correlation between sports and sales. It's so close. And you know, I think the biggest thing is any, you know, you could be able to pitch your product or sell and present so well, but that's ignoring, I would equate that to velocity. And if you can't get in the door and show value immediately and then be able to work with the customer in their procurement process after you've sold them, I think that's even more important to be able to bring awareness and acquire and make the customer become an advocate for you too, and ultimately refer you to other customers because they believe in you and how you've helped them. I think that's more important than being able to just pitch and being able to just sell and present. Probably overlooked and not as sexy, if you will, just like throwing 96, but the mental aspect is so important.
Well, the other thing too that comes up not infrequently on the Sales Game Changers podcast is the ability to listen. You know, you're
absolutely
right. I mean, I can't throw 96 miles per hour, but obviously you said there was 100 guys at the spring training for the Yankees. And then you multiply that by 32 teams, I guess, you know, so there's a couple thousand people who could throw 96 miles per hour right now, but you know, the ability to be successful in sports and obviously in sales isn't the ability just to kind of come in and just chuck. And some people say throw up and show up, you know, is listening. And to provide the value that you were just talking about, you have to be a listener. You have to strategically think. You can't just get in there and just speak for 95% of the time because the customer doesn't really care. Mike Knox, he's the VP of Commercial Sales at Thundercat Technology. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and listen to one of our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to ask Mike for some of his tips on how you can take your sales career to the next level. This is the Sales Game Changers podcast.
Sales Game Changers. Are you confused? Who to engage for your company's sales trainings needs? Are the options overwhelming and you don't want to make a mistake and bring in the wrong training provider? Trust the IES to help you make the right decision. We have researched and analyzed many of the top sales training companies and will help you ensure that you have the right resource to train your sales team around the globe. Go to i4esbd.org/training for more information.
All right, back, Mike. What's the most important thing you want to get across to the junior selling professionals listening around the globe to help them take their career to the next level?
Yeah, I think stick it out, and you're not going to earn all of your money in that first year. You can't expect to be VP of global sales that first year or make a ton of money. You might, but I think the more work you put in, sales cycles and deal cycles take a long time. And once you've built up a pipeline, you're going to be rewarded for the fruits of your labor. And I also think to your earlier point about selling is not telling. Mm-hmm. There's a great blog and platform, gong.io. Mm-hmm. And they did research on 1 million calls and they found out that the most successful reps talk 45% of the time in a discovery call. Mm-hmm. And I love that stat because if I find myself talking more than half the time in a sales call, I know I'm not going to win as much as I could if I listen and help the customer solve their problems. And I think that's an incredible stat for future sales reps is the ability to listen. And it's kind of counterintuitive when you think of sales, but the more you're able to listen and really help the customer, you're going to win so much more. And again, nothing is handed to you. You have to be your own CEO. You have to own it. And you have to not just win, but also let people tastefully and tactfully know that, hey, this is the team that won. This is how we won. And this is how we can replicate that to provide predictable revenue.
You know, the tie into what you just said also is customers find, there's also stats about this as well, much more value in what they realize or determine versus what a sales professional tells them or sales rep tells them. Mike, tell us about some of your selling habits that have led to your sales success.
I think being professionally persistent, follow up, being nice, not being a jerk, being yourself. And I think I mentioned this earlier, but putting the customer success above your own. Again, there's a lot of counterintuitive things about sales, but One walking in might think, oh, I'm just going to put myself first, and it doesn't work. Really putting the customer's success above all, and being a challenger and knowing what that means, and also holding yourself, your team, and the customer accountable to deadlines. Nothing like moving things forward when there's a deadline in place.
Mike, before I ask you a couple of the concluding questions here, you mentioned Challenger Sale a couple of times. It's come up not infrequently on the Sales Game Changers podcast. As a matter of fact, we've actually interviewed a couple of people who actually were at CEB. Of course, it's now Gartner Group when the Challenger Sale was created. What is it about the Challenger that has attracted to you so much?
I think it's what I love about it is it's an elite capability of understanding the customer's business and being able to speak their language and help them understand how you can improve their status quo in a significant way. Because what is sales? You're selling change, and change is not easy. You don't just get a CISO or a CIO or somebody in the C-suite to change, especially in large organizations. And if you're able to help them see that the change you're selling is worth it, then you're going to make a lot of people successful, including yourself. So I just think the challenger aspect of being able to take control of a deal and teach and tailor, I just love everything about that. And certainly you can build strong relationships, and you can be a hard worker and a problem solver. But the main characteristics of being a challenger, especially in the commercial space, as we look to build this business, is incredibly important.
Very good. So again, we're talking today to Mike Knox, VP of Commercial Sales at Thundercat. Mike, again, you just came to Thundercat recently. What's a major initiative you're working on today to ensure your continued success?
I think raising brand awareness for what we can do in the value add that we offer the commercial space, especially leveraging all of the great things that we do in the federal space, especially including our incredible security team. And then really refining our message and building our pipeline so that we can provide a team and a company to grow in, especially on the commercial side, not only for Thundercat, but for future sales professionals who are looking for, a great place to become, part of the Thundercat family.
Very good. Mike, I keep thinking about Tommy John. Do you still talk to Tommy John at all? Do you text him ever? Would he know who you are?
No, you know what? he was pitching batting practice about a month before the season, and he broke his hip.
Oh,
and so we had to have his replacement come in, Dave Island, who wound up, he was our pitching coach. He wound up, being the pitching coach for the Yankees and a couple of other teams. He was a great guy. He always said, Dave Island took me aside, and just really spoke in and said, hey, Mike, you're gaining a name for yourself. It's up to you to gain your piece of the pie. There is a piece of the pie in professional baseball. It's going to be there. And it's up to you to get that piece for yourself. And so I love that. Tommy John might remember me as a Hawthorne righty who was like Nuke LaLoosh. I'm kidding. Everything about Bull Durham is true. But it was phenomenal. I mean, just being able to play around experienced major leaguers like that. And, when guys would come in for rehab, they'd come down and buy us all dinner. And you just get to see the work ethic that people put in to reach that high level.
I just got two more pitching questions for you. Would you like to pitch? It's the bottom of the ninth inning. You're winning 3-2, bases loaded. Is that as a pitcher? Do you get excited about that? Does every pitcher get excited, or do guys kind of shy away from that? And how about you?
Yeah.
Is that a situation you want to be in?
Absolutely. I just got chills. I was like, put me in. I love, I even remember I just started pitching my senior year, and we were going into a tournament. It was an all-day tournament. And we'd won five times that day, and we had to win the sixth game. And my high school's teammates, we still talk about it. But there were a couple hundred people in the audience. And normally for a baseball game in Texas, there's probably like 10 people. So to have a couple hundred people, they were all saying, we're going to beat you. And, a bunch of other stuff that I couldn't repeat here. And I just took that as a challenge, and I locked in and struck out 15 people. And it was so fun. So talking about going into the bottom of the ninth with a one-run lead, bases loaded, yeah, bring it on. Let's do it.
Give me the ball. So again, we talked today with Mike Knox, VP of Commercial Sales at Thundercat Technology. Mike, before I ask you for your final thought, sales is hard. People don't return your phone calls or your emails. They have a lot of options. But why have you continued? What is it about sales as a career that has kept you going?
Yeah, I think just like baseball, I don't expect to win every deal. and strike everyone out. I also don't take it personal. My identity is not on the line in any of my calls, in any of my meetings. And I just think my drive and desire and hunger to keep going, to make a difference and have an impact. But I think overall, I love winning and helping customers and my company win. And there's nothing like that in the world.
Very good. So again, I want to thank Mike Knox. Again, we also interviewed Dave Schlosser from Thundercat Technology. We have a link to his SalesGate Changer podcast you could listen to as well. Mike, why don't you give us one final thought to inspire our listeners today?
Yeah, I'd say chase after what your dreams are. Get after it. Get to know good people. Network. And always, always, always add value in every interaction you're in. And have fun with it, too. It goes fast. And if you put your hard work and talent to play, you're going to win.
Very good. So I want to thank Mike Knox. Mike, what's the best way for the audience to reach you?
Yeah, reach out to me on LinkedIn. Love to connect and look forward to hearing from you.
Very good. So we'll provide a link to Mike's LinkedIn profile in the show notes. Of course, we transcribe every Sales Game Changers podcast episode. You can find today's complete transcription at www.salesgamechangerspodcast.com/Mike Knox, MikeKnox. For more information on the Institute for Excellence in Sales, one of our sponsors, go to i4ESPD.org, i4ESPD.org. For more information again on this podcast, go to SalesGameChangersPodcast.com. To subscribe, go to the Apple Podcast Store, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcast. If you are a subscriber, why don't you go back up to the Apple Podcast Store, give us a 5-star rating, and say something nice. Once again, I want to thank Mike Knox for the great content today. Obviously, could have talked to him for another couple hours about the baseball analogies. Maybe we'll do that sometime in the future. We'll just talk about baseball and sales. Mike, thank you so much. Once again, my name is Fred Diamond. Well, go out there and go sell.
Thank you for listening to the Sales Game Changers podcast with your host, Fred Diamond. Go to i4esbd.org/podcast for show notes and more information on today's guest. Subscribe to the podcast to get tips and advice from sales leaders around the globe to help you take your sales to the next level. Thanks for listening. Take care and go sell.